When the financial crisis hit, some people made a mint. Hedge fund traders carrying out complex trades, largely unregulated, made sophisticated bets that netted them millions, in some cases, billions. But who are these traders? Sebastian Malaby has written a book about the personalities behind the hedge funds from the beginning to the men, and they are all men, who made some of the most spectacular deals in the past few years. He joined us to talk about it. This is a book about finance, but you're talking about some very eccentric people who are able to, in some ways, game the American financial system. Tell us about one of them.
Well, maybe let's just start with Alfred Winslow Jones, who set up the first hedged fund, as he called it, in 1949. And he was not a conventional cookie-cutter financial type. His background was that he had run undercover missions against the Nazis in the 1930s. He had gone there to Berlin to work for the State Department and pretty soon decided that it was better to fall in love with a beautiful anti-Nazi German activist. He signed up for the Marxist Workers' School in Berlin. And only later did he start a hedge fund. So the father of this hyper-capitalist financial vehicle actually had flirted with Marxism in his youth.
Is there something about him that then becomes a common trait to all of these financiers that you write about?
There was an appetite for secrecy which distinguished Alfred Jones. The extraordinary thing about him was that he'd had this other life. And when I went to interview all the money managers who had worked for Alfred Jones's hedge fund, and I asked them about this earlier life, none of them knew a single thing about it. So that kind of instinct for being under the radar has characterized hedge fund managers ever since.
Is there a particular kind of person who is drawn to this high-risk money game?
Yes, it does attract contrarians and larger-than-life personalities. If you take James Simons of Renaissance Technologies, who emerged as the highest-earning hedge fund titan in the 2000s. This is not a guy who, you know, took orders from on high very nicely. He never wears socks. He sort of, you know, drives his car at all kinds of speed. This is the kind of personality who is both sort of free-thinking, independent, self-reliant, a bit maverick, a bit crazy, who goes and becomes an entrepreneur. And that's what the industry is full of.
At the end of your book, you do raise questions about regulating hedge funds, and you say yes, because of the number and the amount of money they control.
Well, what I think is that 99% of hedge funds, pretty much, were small enough to fail. In other words, they could go out of business tomorrow and the financial system would be fine, taxpayers would not have to pay a cent. And in my view, those hedge funds should be completely unregulated. We want to encourage small enough to fail institutions, so tying them up with regulatory obligations is a mistake. On the other hand, I do think that when hedge funds get to be really big, then they are too big to fail potentially, and they should be regulated like investment banks because that is effectively what they've become.
One of the things that you do point out in this book is hedge fund managers are the kind of people who do see the mistakes in the economy. During the mortgage crisis, these were people who saw it coming and could make a pile of money by betting against.
That's right. And I think the important thing is to know that they didn't just sort of make a wild bet. I mean, they came to this view of betting against the mortgage bubble by dint of some serious research. I mean, John Paulson, the most famous hedge fund manager who speculated against the mortgage bubble, created a $2 million research budget. He hired fresh people to come in and analyze and crunch data. And it was only after he'd done all that that he had the conviction to go against the conventional wisdom.
And talk about how much Paulson made on betting that the mortgage bubble would burst.
Well, he made more money than God. I mean, this is the title of my book. And, when J.P. Morgan, who was known as Jupiter because of his godlike power over Wall Street, died in 1913, his fortune consisted in today's dollars of about $1.4 billion. John Paulson made $4 billion personally in that year, 2007. So he made more money than Jupiter or more money than God three times over.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sebastian Malaby writes about finance. He's a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. His new book is More Money Than God.